What made you first take an interest in acting?
Well, I didn't want to do a 9-to-5 regular job. That was obvious right off the bat. I knew that as a very young child. In my high school years, I had no idea I wanted to do acting, but I didn't know what. Like, I was doing acting, I was doing dancing. I thought maybe I'd be a rapper. I was going to draw. Like, I was going to do a little bit of everything. The problem with that is I was only a little good at everything, you know, so good at everything, and that's it, but not enough. So the voiceover specifically, I had my uncle called me up one time and said he was doing a documentary, and he wanted his artwork that he had made to have some poems read in the character voices. And so I auditioned for that. I booked a couple of parts, recorded in a real studio, and that's when I kind of realized, like, oh, this is a thing. Like, this is legit. This is real. And I'd never considered voiceover before. I always did voices and was in acting classes and stuff, but I never thought about that avenue. And from then on, it was like, how do I do this? So it was pretty clear cut, which was good for me because I was all over the place, which is not necessarily a good thing. You can succeed in one thing and then dabble, then have a fashion line. You know, I can be like J-Lo and do a fashion, but she started with the fashion line. It wouldn't have worked. Trust me.
I want to ask a quick question. I'm with Oz Magazine. Sure. Over B2B. So I wanted to ask you the concept of the animation, anime. Mm-hmm. What do you, I've just come from a concert in Chicago with BTS. The culture, really. How has that affected you? I mean, obviously, when you started doing voiceovers, you probably didn't expect this kind of fandom. Or did you?
No, I didn't at all. It's a very new thing. I started just under 20 years ago. And for me, it was just a kind of a love of doing this. Like, this is what I wanted to do. And to be fair, I loved anime also. And I loved animation and cartoons. I've never stopped watching that. It has nothing to do with my career. If I were doing something totally different now, I'd still be watching these shows and playing these video games. Maybe I'd have more time to do that, possibly. But I've watched it become huge. I've watched anime. I used to have to go to special, you know, drive three cities away to find a video rental place, if you guys remember what those are, and find the anime I wanted to watch and, you know, rent that stuff and then drive just as far back to return it. And that was a fine way to spend my day. There was a con I live in LA, so there's a Shrine Auditorium con that's like once every month, and I've been going to that for years and years and years and years. But I never saw this much hype over, you know, the voice thing. It was always kind of cult classics.
Right.
Robert Englund was there from Nightmare of Elm Street once, or, right, you know, different people like that. You know, somebody from Batman, or somebody from, you know, Adam West was there. And that created a stir, but it was never really about the voice actor. So that kind of just crept up on everybody. And I know new actors today, that's part of their goal.
But why do you think that happens?
I think the entire culture has changed. I mean, you got to look at, we've got these Marvel films used to be, whenever there was a superhero film, it was kind of for the superhero geeks. You know, and a few other people would see them. But now that's mainstream. I think a lot of the big actors even would turn those roles down back in the day, if you go back 15, 20 years, because I don't want to do that. I've got to wear those spandex and the whole, like, no, thank you. So the entire culture has changed. Anime is huge. Animation is huge. I don't know what made people start paying attention to the voices. I don't know. I can't put my finger on that. In games, I remember reading the gaming magazine reviews that would say, they would have listings for everything out of 5 stars, and they never had voice for the longest time. And I remember when they finally put, they had sound, you know, sound effects, music. It took a while before they even threw voice on there, and now people started paying attention. So I'm happy to see it happen. But I don't know what exactly it's been, but it definitely has been a whole culture shift. Dungeons & Dragons is now, like, cool. Like, you're a nerd if you don't play. So everything's flipped on its head.
You do Hawkmoth on Miraculous Ladybug. Like, what is that experience interacting with the Miraculous fans?
That's pretty amazing, actually. One of the things in a career of voiceover is you never really know what's going to hit.
Right.
You never know for sure. Sometimes all signs are, this is going to be huge, and it just, you just do it, and it's done, and they don't even play a whole season on whatever channel it's on. So you never know. And I remember that particular show, I think it bounced around to a few different studios, and I think I auditioned like 3 different times for that, and then it finally landed somewhere, and luckily I booked it there.
Right.
But I had no idea. The first cosplayer I saw was cosplaying Ladybug, and it was before the show had aired anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Because the company Zag, they're very cool. They're not as secretive. I know a lot of need to
really
be secretive,
not.
But they're like, here's some drawings. Here's what we're working on. And so we had fans immediately, which has been amazing. And it's been one of the best fandoms as far as the amount of support that we're given as a cast. So it's pretty amazing. It's been a wonderful ride all the way through. And I hope it never ends, but I know everything ends at some point. It always does. We got time for now, I think, though.
But will it, though? I mean,
I hope not.
Will you always be, like you said, Adam West? Will it end?
Oh, well, I may be able to go to cons and in 20 years have people that are like, I used to watch Miraculous, and but I know that the show won't, like, I can't imagine 20 years the show's still going. I mean, that would be great, trust me. But yeah, it's nice to think some of these shows and some of these characters will be with people and with fans for decades to come. And that's a very comforting and wonderful feeling for me to think that. So I hope that's the case with some of the characters at least.
Who would you say has had the biggest impact on your career?
Who has had the biggest impact on my career? I don't know. I'm blown away by everyone. I used to, you know, the obvious answer is like someone like Mel Blanc or somebody who I looked up to even when I was younger. And there are so many names, but I hesitate now because when I work with a group of actors, sometimes there'll be a few actors that I've never worked with before, especially early in my career, I'd be like, I don't know who that is. And I would go home and Google that person and find out, oh my God, I've been watching and listening to that person for 25 years. Like, I didn't know, I didn't realize. So I just kind of, I walk into a room and always just expect there's something I can learn from everyone and everyone's better than me. That's kind of the attitude that I walk in, if that makes sense. So it's hard to pick any kind of favorites or anybody that I try to, because the thing about your career in voiceover is you can't plan it. You can't say, I want to be a hero and I want to be a hero in everything, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, you kind of start getting cast as maybe you're the villain, maybe you're more dads, maybe you're the sensitive type, maybe you're the hero, maybe you're the nerdy, young, you know, teenage guy all the time. But whatever it is, if the fans are embracing you and the work is there, you just kind of embrace that and you go with it. So it's hard to go like, I want to do what Steve Bloom does exactly, because you're not, because you don't sound exactly like him. You have what you have and he's got what he's got, so.
I'm from Omnic Esports, you know, we
do
Overwatch League
news. Come get your armor!
You know, Overwatch League has been going, has been growing very rapidly, you know, since last year and this year, adding eight new teams. Have you had an experience to go down to the studio and watch a league? And if so, who's your favorite team? No bias.
Hiding your hat, hiding the logo on your hat. I don't necessarily have a favorite team, but I understand that I think it's the Houston Outlaws were the first ones in competitive play to use Torbjörn. So if that's the case, they are currently my favorite right now. I mean, I'm an LA guy, so probably when I start going. The funny thing is, I need to make the time to go. I live like 3 blocks away from where those tournaments are held. I drive past it all the time. A couple of weeks ago, I was stopped at a light and all the people are walking across, clearly wearing all their shirts and hats. They're going to watch them compete. And one guy stops in the middle of the street and kind of looks over and goes, hey. And I'm like, hi. And then he finishes crossing the street. And clearly he recognized me, but it was just so funny. I'm sure he thought, oh, you know, Keith Silverstein's going to be here because I was there. But no, I'm just going home. Like, I drive past every day. I always see these people. So, but I love how huge a success that is. It blows my mind, and I think that all the competitors are amazing, and they're getting the credit they deserve now finally, which is really cool. Like, people are fans of them. People are wearing jerseys for all the different players, and I think that is, there's room for everyone, and I think that's great. And now hopefully we'll get like the designers and the directors and the writers of these games to also start getting some of the credit they deserve too. So, yeah.
I'm sure you get to go to many conventions throughout the country throughout the year. How are you enjoying your
I am loving this. I actually went to the aquarium last night, which I can't think of a better aquarium. Like, I'm going through my brain going, is there like Long Beach? No. This is a great aquarium. So I had a blast here so far. I need to see more of this con. It's a huge con. So far, the fans have been fantastic. They've been great. I need to get out and check out the games, and I need to check out the dealer floor because that's kind of one of the ways that I judge conventions. So, but in terms of how I've been treated by all the staff and all the con goers, A++++. It's been fantastic so far. This is one hell of a con, so. Yeah. Yeah. What is my favorite voice? I worked on a show called Wack Fu, and I got to play his character Ruel, which is funny for me because like a goofy old man voice like this. I used to do this voice all the time when I was younger, and I never thought I'd get paid to do it, but it's a goofy old man voice, and he can fight, but he's a goofball. So that is one that's kind of fun for me just because I can't believe something I just did for the heck of it. I actually ended up getting to be paid for, and it's a great show too. So it was a great watch, and I was like, I can't believe I pulled that voice out and got to use it. Like, amazing. So that, I don't know if it's my all-time favorite, but that's the one that comes to mind right now. So, yeah.
So you are playing voices as heroes and villains in your professional life. Mm-hmm. How are you a hero or a villain in your personal life?
Ooh, am I a villain though? I don't know. I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy. And I'd like to think that I'm a hero to my girls. You know, I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old at home who are just the right age that they're actually impressed with the stuff I do. And I know they're going to hit those teenage years and be the opposite of impressed. But for now, the timing is right and they love shows like Miraculous. They seem pretty proud. And it's going every once in a while when I'm picking up my 8-year-old from school, somebody new of her friends would like a signature. And it's like, well, how did they even know that, Lily? How did they know that I'm on that show? And it's because she's so proud. So for me, that that melts my heart. Like, that's an amazing thing. And I'll hang on to that as long as I can. So I feel very proud of being a dad. So, and I don't know when I'm a villain. Someone will let me know sometime. They'll go, you're terrible. When she's a teenager. Yeah, get back to me in about 10 years.
I promise you.
Yeah.
What's something that you're passionate about that you'd like to share with more people?
I'd like to share with more people that I'm passionate about. Oh, I don't know. Like a charity or something. I don't know. I like to let people know that I'm adopted. Just because I think that's important, that those of us that some people may look up to, that's important that people know that, oh, they're adopted and they're, you know, because it's a very normal thing, but in some places it still needs some normalizing. You have things like Adoption Awareness Month and things like that, which I think most people are aware it happens, but it's more a matter of the normalization of anything like that. So I guess.
Excellent.
Can I ask you, when you do tour board,
mm-hmm.
can you show me how you kind of, I mean, you've had different tools, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things are added, too. Aren't they in the game once in a while?
You mean like effects and stuff?
Yes.
I think the only effect they add on his voice, I think, is the molten core call-out thing. I think they do something to that one.
When you do the voice, do you dress up? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you get into character?
It's a little... I think everyone's different in how we do it. And to me, it's I definitely stand a different way depending on the character. If the character is like arrogant or really cocky, you know, I might, you know, put my thumb in my belt loop and kind of lean back a little bit and have that kind of thing. Other ones I kind of tighten up and get kind of small. And it's good to know because when they're setting up the mic, they want me to stand how I'm going to stand. So I'll do a little of the voice to make sure that I'm, you know, where I need to be. I'll move a lot if that's necessary. Or if it's someone who's really quiet and shy, I might, you know, just kind of close up and not move too much. For Torbjörn specifically, I think I not because of his size or height or shape or anything, but I think I kind of, because he's a solid guy, so I think I kind of hunch up a little bit like this, you know? People always underestimate the engineers. He's got like that airy, like all throughout him, so he's got a kind of a different breath, and so I breathe a little differently for him as well.
Who's your nemesis on Overwatch?
Oh, do I have a nemesis? You know what? Well, I know that when I play, Junkrat seems to blow the turd up in my face more often than anybody else. So I would have to say Junkrat as a character. I love the character. Chris is amazing as Junkrat. It's one of my favorite vocally. I love that character. It's awesome. But in game, yeah, I do better if no one's playing Junkrat against me. Anyone else? Yeah.
Why doesn't Gabriel let Adrian eat croissants or anything, really?
Is that true? I don't let Adrian eat croissants.
He has like a very strict diet, and like the only time Adrian gets croissants is if Marinette gets them.
Well, that makes sense. Well, Adrian has a great modeling career, right? And doing fashion shows and that whole thing. So I would expect for two reasons. One, to mimic the real careers, which unfortunately, you know, that's kind of part of it. It's like, you got a diet, you got to work out, you got to exercise, you got to look this way, that way. And then also to show how strict he is and how he puts work and business ahead of even his son, in a lot of cases. So I think there's twofold for that. We need something for him to do. We don't want him to be so far. We want to kind of like the character, so we don't want him to like beat his son, but we need to know that he's very controlling of his son. So I would think that's why. It's too bad, because I love a good croissant.
It's good to know, because I have a bag. My Adrian actually has a bag of croissants.
I think Gabriel himself probably also doesn't eat croissants, though. That would be my guess, is that he wouldn't just inflict that on his son. He's probably like, yeah. I don't have time either.
We have time for two questions left.
Ooh, two good questions.
Two questions.
They have to be good, though.
Not a chance yet.
All right.
So, I want to thank you, as a person, for giving away in the area of the industry, the voice acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That has been something that's been on my mind, and it's funny because out of all the characters, you know, being a person of color myself, out of all the characters I play, there's only a handful that are actually people of color also that I'm playing, although I do that as well, of course. And I've just, you know, gone wherever the wind blows me as far as a role goes, but I've had people come up to me and say that I'm a, you know, people of color that are, they say I'm a role model for them, and that actually makes me very, very happy. Just to give you a little bit of my background, I was adopted, so, which I mentioned earlier, my parents who raised me, the family I grew up with, I love very much, are both white, so I grew up in white areas for the most part, that kind of, that whole thing. So for me, anytime I get to shorten it, embraced by the black community, like, I love that. I think it's a very cool thing because growing up, you know, it's that thing where you're not black enough or you're too black, strangely enough, you know, and you get that from all different sides and stuff. So I just grew up just kind of being myself. And the truth is, just being a person of color, you naturally, to some degree, represent people of color. And if I can do it in a successful, positive way, then fantastic. And it's a very interesting time now, because right now they're casting a lot and they're wanting to be very specific, like, well, we only want a black person for this role, or we only want someone who's actually Chinese for this role, or someone, and I'm a little bit of like everything. I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. And it's a very interesting time, and I understand them wanting to cast true to that. But at the same time, you go, how far are you going to go? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a little bit Irish, very little bit, but, you know, so you're not Irish enough. Am I too Irish? You know what I mean? So it's a very interesting time, but I'm very happy to be able to represent any of the many cultures that I happen to be. So yeah, it's very cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hopefully I answered that.
I want to give you the floor for a moment to just communicate to whoever's listening. What's an important message that you want to share with people?
Relating to my work or just not necessarily?
Not necessarily, just whatever's important to you.
I think, well, for me, the most important thing, I want to say family first and foremost, but at the same time, I think being happy and complete as a person has to also be in there, because that, I think that dictates everything. Meaning, if you're unhappy and you get into a relationship of any kind, whether it's a family or a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, you can't expect that to make you whole. It sounds poetic. It's nice to say you complete me. I mean, it's a beautiful sentiment. But at the same time, I think the realistic thing is to be happy with who you are and know how important that is. And then that reflects on everything else. You know, don't make choices that make you unhappy. Follow your heart. I mean, all these are, I know that some of them are very cliche, but I think that for me, the most important thing is family. But I can only say that because of the family that I've made for myself, because I made the right choices for me first, met the right people, and made that family happen. So like when I do all this stuff, anything I go to, I travel, I do cons, they're always in my head because, you know, I miss my family. I miss my girls. I miss my wife. I miss my son. So that's always top of my mind. And so we find out what's important to you and hang on to that and never forget how important that is. And there are multiple things, because your career may or may not be important to you. Some people, a career is just a job. You know, a lot of people, I've had many times in my life where I wasn't happy with the job I did. But if you find something that makes you happy and makes you a better person to those around you, just work as hard as you can to hold on to that and make that a big part of your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to yet another production of The Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. You can find us online at awesomecast.com, OSMCAST.com, or, you know, wherever you find your podcast, just search for Awesome Cast. You can also find us on the social medias, Awesome Cast at Twitter or on Facebook. Of course, you can also find our wonderful interview guru, the greatest living interviewer, John Robbins, at J5 is Live. Or perhaps you'd like to follow our amazing editor, Anna, at Angel Darkfire, or just me, at It's Basil Time on Twitter. Our theme song is produced by DJ Inibito, and you can find him online at djinibito.com. And once again, thanks for listening to The Awesome Cast. We appreciate you.